hour. It's the Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
I'd be sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock! That's what we call a sack lunch.
They do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
All right, here's the stat. Pulled it up. Found it. Brad put this out on Wednesday. He says, we're going to have a historically experienced offensive line group returning through college football this year. Right now, 46 schools return all five starters on the offensive line. He said that number is usually around 10 or less. Now, some of that would be the free year teams it got, players got, and all that. I would assume that that coincides somewhat with this number. That's a big number. Now, Berg brought it up earlier. Just because everybody's returning doesn't necessarily have to mean it's good. What if everybody's returning and you didn't bust a grape a year ago? That could be the case. Or it could be you were good and a lot of people are coming back. Could be any number of things. But that's the number. I'll say this. There's not a position group in football that needs more continuity, more togetherness, more being in sync, more reps together like an orchestra than the offensive line. There's nothing like it. There is nothing like it. Now, every group needs reps. We'll start with that obviousness, right? But the offensive line is totally unique. I tell you, some of the most beautiful, and this may sound boring, I won't stick with it long, but watching, either if you're with a coach and you're watching film, or let's just say you pulled up some clips on Twitter. Twitter's got some really good stuff on it, some of the scouts out there, the stuff they pull up. But if it's a play where you're isolating the offensive line, watching and slow-mowing it, watching an offensive line group work in unison, doing their job. Each player's got a job, right? Tackle to tackle. Five of them. Is a beautiful thing when it's working. It's an ugly thing when it's busting, but it's a beautiful thing when it's working. Now, again, that may be boring, but those are the kind of little clips I can click and then click it again and then click it again and then click it like 10 times. Watch it again because I want to see each, and you have to click it a bunch to see each. Maybe it's the footwork. Maybe it's the assignment. Maybe it's how about when an offensive lineman, let's say initially blocks a down defensive lineman, sheds off that particular assignment and gets a linebacker. How many times do you see that? That's very rare. Or let's say blocks a defensive lineman and then there's a long run, heads down the field looking for work, 20, 30 yards down the field. You don't see that a lot. That's not something you get to witness a lot. Anyways, maybe I got too far off on that. Georgia Dog, welcome in.
Bill, good morning. I got to give a special. I know it's not Balls of Steel. I know that's Monday, but you know Noel Corr was a part of our cast. It is part of our cast. 38 years old, runs marathons, runs ultra marathons, which would be 100-mile marathons, and I think they take 48 or 72 hours. I'm not sure. The last one he ran, he showed his pictures later, his ankles all swollen up and all, but decided at 38 years old with 3 degrees, from University of Washington, Florida State. And Bill, it's either Arizona State. I think it's Arizona State. I'm not sure. Decided to join the military, to join the Navy. Now he's an engineer and made very good living as an engineer, but he wanted to go in the military and serve his country. So he goes to boot camp with all these 18, 19, 20 year olds and wins the, I'm not sure what the medal's called, but it was for the top performer at boot camp. And I can just imagine no corps with these kids trying to run 10-mile races and no corps not even getting a breath. I mean, it's not even bothering him at all. But I'm sure he's going to go into officer training now. But, yeah, man, that was, it's a great story. He's out of boot camp now, I think. We heard from him this week. So maybe he can call into the show. But wow. Yeah, maybe on Monday we can remember that. But, you know, 38 years old, gives up, you know, he's got, like I said, 3 degrees. But what a great American.
He came up a couple of years ago to the Omni and stayed and came by and hung out with us during the show. And I believe it was when Georgia was in town 2 years ago.
Yeah, he's a special kid. He's been on the Ponderosa many times, his wife and daughter and just beautiful family. And just couldn't be prouder of that guy. Love him to death. But also, I sent you a text that Washington has passed a law, Bill. If you go to the University of Washington football, any game, any school, anything, you got to have a vaccination card. You can't get in. You got to have your vaccine card.
State of Washington, so that's pro game, any game, college game, what have you.
Doesn't matter. Even a little league game makes no difference. It has anything to do with sports. Even to go to school, if you go to the colleges, you have to have a vaccination card. And the funny thing was, after the commercial, this was on Fox News, they ran another story that now you can buy a fake vaccine card. Well, now, Bill, I'm going to get out of here, but just wanted to give a special yell out to Noel Corum. With that, we'll just be doggone.
I hadn't even thought about that. Remember, it was a few months ago. Somehow we got on the fake ID. When you were coming out of high school, going to college, there was always the guy, and few people in the audience have said, hey, I was that guy. I made really good money on fake IDs, making them, selling them. But on every college campus, you have at least one fake ID guy that you can go to. Cost you, I don't know what it costs to get the fake ID. So you get beer and stuff. Then you have a bookie pretty much in every frat house. There's going to be that guy. Wherever you, I don't care what school you decide you're going to go to or you went to, you're going to have that. So now, I hadn't even thought of this. There's going to be a market for fake vaccination cards. I guess there's a market for everything out there. Yeah, that's I can tell you that's not happening in the states that are well-run, like Florida, Texas. This state is – now, Nashville's not well-run, but this state in general is. It's not happening here. I've got a I'm still monitoring. I've got a story about that topic. Well, not quite vaccinations, but I got a story for you. I'm holding it. Just let me put it that way. It's, you're not going to hear it today. You won't hear it this week. Just a little something for you. Now, this right here is very interesting. Shannon up in South Bend sent it to me. Bill, have you seen this? Notre Dame is putting up recruiting billboards around the country. I love this by the Irish. Curious of your thoughts. Now, I don't think it's new that Notre Dame may have a billboard in a city. And somebody can correct me on this. But I think this particular campaign is new. Notre Dame And their recruiting is it's now I'm not saying it's Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, Clemson, those teams. I'm not saying they're there yet with their recruiting, but it's picking up some. Marcus Freeman is doing this some, but in states, for example, where they have players on the current roster, Notre Dame is putting up billboards across the country. That's right. For Kyle Hamilton, who is easily the best safety in football, in college football, 6'4", 220 Notre Dame. He's a junior. He's playing his last games. He'll be out of there. One mock draft had him number two in the next draft. I don't where he'll go, but he'll go fast. Incredible rangy safety with ridiculous size and speed. He comes from Georgia. So in Atlanta, there is right now a billboard with his picture on it, says, I'm from Atlanta, and I chose Notre Dame. And it's you know, you could look. There is one in ACC. Well, there's one in New Jersey, sorry. Yeah, there's one in New Jersey with the Adam Enola brothers, Jason and Justin, on there. There's one in St. Louis with Kyron, actually Gabe Rubio, who's a true freshman. There may be a Kyron Williams one, too. And I'm sure there's one in Chicago, which is just up the street and in various places. But they're putting up billboards all over the country with current players on it, from whatever area where the billboard is. It's a smart idea if you're Notre Dame. Notre Dame recruiting has been pretty good the last 10 years under Brian Kelly, but it's also considered somewhat lazy. Is that possible? Can you be actually pretty good at it? And also, at the same time, considered lazy at it. Because that's what I'm saying. Notre Dame back before, let's say from the mid-90s all the way back through history, has been known as a monster recruiter. Go anywhere, anytime, get players. And get the high-level Johnny Five Stars. That got away from them through the years. Got kind of lazy. And they got out of sight, out of mind. Last Natty is in the late 80s. Last Heisman, late 80s, right? So the history is separating for them. And it got to the point where they weren't getting those players. And it got kind of lazy. I'm not saying it's all the way back. No, I'm not saying that at all. But you got to remember, Randy Moss, the best receiver in history, in my opinion, signed with Notre Dame. That's just one example. That's a more recent example, actually. We'll take the break. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. We've had a series of accidents scattered down I-40 here from the airport here on 40 eastbound. At Spence Lane, slowed it down. Then we had that one earlier at Fessler's. Looking better, kind of trying to get past Fessler's now on 40 going eastbound. It's picked up now I-40 through Kingston Springs out of Dixon County. Ripley's Aquarium, Sleep of the Sharks coming up on June 11th. Check it out, Ripley's Aquarium of the Smokies.com. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
Are you looking to start your own home gym? Hey guys, it's Zach, and I've got the hookup for you. Premier Fitness Source has opened a new location here in the Nashville area, and they are there to help you build the gym of your dreams. They can help you with residential and commercial exercise equipment and with the entire process from design to sales, installation, and maintenance. They are located at 101 Creekside Crossing, Suite 700 in Brentwood. From ellipticals to weight benches, they have all the tools you need to achieve your health and fitness goals. Go check out their website at premierfitnesssource.com or go see them in Brentwood at 101 Creekside Crossing, Suite 700, next to Publix. And check out their Instagram at PFS_Tennessee. Be sure to tell them that we sent you to receive a free gift. Again, that address is 101 Creekside Crossing, Suite 700 in Brentwood. At Premier Fitness Source, they are committed to more than your satisfaction.
Quinn Stained Glass Repair and Restoration would like to salute everyone who is serving our great country. To the men and women who have helped to uphold and strengthen all that is guaranteed to us through the Constitution, this message is from the crew at Quinn Stained Glass Repair and Restoration, your stained glass experts serving the Nashville area, specializing in new construction, repairs, and restoration, residential or commercial. Give Butch a call at 615-308-3447. That's 615-308-3447. Quinn Stained Glass Repair and Restoration, thanking the men and women of our military for their service. If you're looking to turn the corner in 2021 in a new job with a family-owned business that believes the best way to serve customers is by taking care of its employees first, let me tell you about Goggin Cold Haul. Goggin Cold Haul operates within a 500-mile radius of its Smyrna base and seeks professional drivers to join its team with a $1,000 sign-on bonus. There's weekly home time with no northeast travel and no-touch freight with our late-model Freightliner and Kenworth trucks. A new beginning awaits you in 2021 at Goggin Cold Haul, the coldest team in town.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on The Final Lap. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and Kyle Busch becomes the 10th different winner in 11 races at Kansas Speedway this past weekend. Up next, we are looking at Throwback Darlington Weekend. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, race recaps, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday right here.
Hi, this is Kyle Busch, and you're listening to The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy.
We are now on YouTube.com/Final Lap Radio. Check us out every single weekday right here.
Often imitated, never duplicated. Wordsmithing like a mofo on college football, it's Bill King.
Message early in the week said Bill needs a little time off. Chris has been working long hours, man. So hopefully next week, but whatever he needs, we will accommodate him. Good friend. Dom up in Pittsburgh says, Bill, and a lot of people said they watched this, Just Business among others. But Dom says, Bill was watching Chris Landry on his Twitch channel, day two of the draft. He was nonstop, Bill. Actually looked like he was under the weather towards the end. Had to cut the programming short due to work on NFL free agents for a few of the NFL teams. Oh, I'm sure that's a long grind. I don't have the passion for the NFL to do that. I could not. What he does, I could not pull off because I don't have the interest there. It's hard for me to fake it. But I'm sure, and I had a lot of people tell me they saw and watched his Twitch and Twitch channel, said it was really good, said it was very in-depth and very educational, let's put it that way. So, yeah, I had various people hit me up. Jim in Jupiter says, thanks to Georgia Dog for his story about Noel Coore. Yeah, Noel Coore went to Florida State, went to Washington, went to, I think he said, one of the Arizona schools. I did not know that about joining the military in his late 30s. If you've ever seen him, this guy, not only does he run marathons and ultra marathons or whatever they call them, but you just see him, he is in ideal shape. He looks like the kind of guy who, when you're sitting there talking to him, could just take off and run from one corner of the planet to the other and not lose a breath. Yeah, he came up, I think it was for the, now he's not a Georgia fan or anything. He's not from there, but I think he came up for the, when we had to get together a couple of years ago, Rusty, remember Rusty came up? And because it was Georgia here in town. That was, what, the 2019 season, if I remember. And Georgia fans were coming up here in droves. Like, they, Georgia fans travel well wherever. But they were coming to Nashville, big numbers. And he came up just to hang out at the Omni. And had lost track of him. I kept asking him down there what was going on. But that's what's going on. There's your answer. Eric up in Indy says, Bill, I wish Marcus Freeman, who's the new defensive coordinator at Notre Dame, came from Cincinnati, played for the Buckeyes, but also recruit the offensive side of the ball for the Irish. He's the real deal. He has pumped a lot of energy into that program. Now, watching the spring game, I didn't see a whole lot of offensive energy in some areas, particularly at wide receiver. And that's not his responsibility, right? That's not his side of the ball. But, yeah, I'm with you, Eric. They could use an energy burst. This is going to be an interesting season. Perry Mason from the Orange Groves of America. Checking in. Bill, isn't it the time of year with Georgia coming off a spring game natty, recruiting natty as well, to begin the hype for the Dogs winning a real natty? But then again, isn't always propaganda season going on in Georgia? I don't know. I mean, Georgia's always optimistic. They should be. Yeah, they should be. And let's face it, they have a pretty good lock on the SEC East. Now, yeah, Florida won it last year. Correct. Fair and square. Nope, no qualms there. Florida won it fair and square. But Georgia has been the power, let's face it, in the SEC East. Let's say since Urban Meyer, for the most part. Georgia's been the team since Urban Meyer departed the auditorium in Hogtown. So there's reason to be optimistic. Now national championships, those are hard to come by, whoever you are. Georgia 1980, national championship. I got to admit, when I saw them play the first game, in Neyland Stadium that year, 1980. They were down 15-0. Came back and won. Herschel made his debut. Everybody knows that story. A lot of people say they were at that game. And if everybody that says they were at that game were actually at that game, there'd been over 1 million people at that game. I think there was, back then there was probably 90,000-95,000 in Neyland Stadium, which was capacity. It was, I mean, loaded, a frenzied atmosphere. And like I told you, I'd been waiting to see Herschel Walker and felt so fortunate that his very first game I was going to get to see. We didn't know what his playing time would be either. We figured he'd get in there, but we didn't know. He did not start that game. And, but anyways, watching that game in Tennessee probably should have won that game. Tennessee is on the one-inch line at the end of the game to win it and fumbled. Nate Taylor, junkyard dog linebacker, Georgia recovered that ball. Glenn Ford was the running back, North Carolina kid, running back for Tennessee. Big-name recruit, never did much. Had some moments, never did much. I think he quit about within the next year he was out of there. Yeah, he was gone. That was also my first big recruiting lesson, and I'll relay that here in a second. But watching that Georgia team, it's kind of funny because just based on that game, I thought, you know, they may be a top 10 team, but I wasn't thinking here's the team spot to win a national championship. Just play the year out, there's your national championship team. Wasn't thinking that. I don't know, in 1980, Pittsburgh was a superpower back then. Okay, Pitt was one. Alabama's coming up back-to-back national championships, 78-79. So you're just assuming 80's going to be really, really good. And they were on a roll until the Mississippi State game. That kind of knocked them off in 1980. But just watching that Georgia team, good, but great. They're going to win it all. Notre Dame was a power. Notre Dame and Georgia played in the Sugar Bowl for the Natty that year. Good game. Good, hard fought, hard hitting game. Herschel was, Herschel was the difference in that game. But it was hard. It was hard to tell, and we didn't think about it. I was just getting started in college. We weren't thinking about down the road national championships either. It was just one game there, but it was profound. I knew it was big. I didn't realize it was even bigger than that. I didn't realize it at the time. And oh, let me give you another angle. Tennessee, we thought Tennessee would be a top 10 team perhaps after that game too, because the game was at best 50-50, okay? It was a dead even game. Georgia was not clearly, well, Herschel, but I mean, player for player, there was no difference in that game. Now, that Tennessee team ended up not getting much done. Yeah, the false pretense coming from observing Tennessee that day, that actually was a Saturday night, was not accurate. I thought that team, that back then you played 11 games. I figured that team could go 9-2. At worst, go 8-3. That team ended up, I think that team ended up 5-6. I don't know that they had a winning record. Somebody can check me on that. That 1980 team. I'm talking regular season now. Did they go to a bowl game that year? The year before they went to the Astro Blue Bunny Bowl. I remember that. They played Purdue. But I don't know that the 1980 team. Maybe they played in a small bowl. Anyways, back to the recruiting lesson. And this is 1980, but I was obsessed with the recruiting and all that from mid-70s forward, and nobody covered it. I would find in catalogs some dude somewhere who had some kind of pamphlet. I'd buy it. I mean, some guy that nobody knew who they were. I mean, in this case, it was Joe Terranova. Now, he was a name that was actually in that world, people, it was kind of a cult-like following. Let me put it that way. Yeah, that'd be the way to describe it. Cult-like. That's what recruiting was then. Now, recruiting was vitally important at all these schools, but the coverage of it was cult-like. It was not mainstream at all. And one of the things that gravitated me is Tennessee in the class of 78 had, according to one service, and there weren't many services at all, and again, it was cult-like, had the number one class, along with Texas. Texas and Tennessee, the two UTs were tied for the number one recruiting class in America. And this is just the first couple of years of Johnny Majors at Tennessee. So I took that as the gospel. I took that to absolutely mean that's what you will see on the field. Now, fast forward to today. I preach, I proselytize all the time. Stars matter. Recruiting rankings matter. But you have to be careful. You have to know how to work your way in and out of all that, right? And it can come in all shapes and sizes. And recruiting rankings can either mean something or sometimes they can be inaccurate. They're not always accurate. Just because I say stars matter doesn't mean I'm saying it's the 100% gospel. Nothing. The NFL draft, the NBA draft, Major League Baseball, none of it's 100% the gospel, right? But back to recruiting. I took that to mean, okay, class of 78, they're just freshmen. Give them 2 years, about 1980, and they're going to be ready to compete with Alabama. And that did not happen. Matter of fact, that class fell apart. That class fell apart. Very few remained later in their years at Tennessee. And that shocked me. But see, I was only about 5 years into obsessing over this, and I was learning. I was learning on the fly. Between 77, let's say, and about 1980, 81, 82, I was learning every year what works, what doesn't work. What's the gospel? What's not the gospel? How much of this should you take to the bank? And I don't mean literally, but should you take as the gospel? And it taught me early, study it, be careful with it. Doesn't always hit the way you think it's going to hit. Yeah, that class had all Americans all over it from recruiting now. Everybody wanted these players. Had one player named Leotis Burton from Georgia. I think he was from America's, who was 6'6", about 240. Everybody in America wanted him. Defensive lineman. And in a Notre Dame game, this is still, people will remind you of this. Tennessee's playing Notre Dame. They're getting their brains beat out. Vegas Ferguson is the star running back at Notre Dame. He's loose on a long run. Leotis Burton runs him down. This guy had speed. The running back had speed. Leotis Burton ran him down. That's his true freshman year. The next fall camp for his sophomore year, they're doing running drills. He keeps running and falling over. He can't run a straight line either. Every time he'd take off running, he'd start moving sideways, and then he would fall over. They did tests on him. He had some kind of blood disorder. Never played again. They had some things like that happen. They had players who just busted. They had players who quit. It did not turn out to be. But it was. But again, I guess the point is, it was my first big lesson. And the lesson is, study it, absorb it, but be careful with it. Oh, no. Stars matter. They absolutely matter. But you've gotta know when and where. Jeff 2 says, Bill, I was at the Omni for your show when Nilcor stopped by. Got to meet him there. That show was August 30th of 19, the Friday before the Georgia-Vandy game. Extremely good guy. Noticeably in shape. I'm grateful for his unselfishness and dedication to the country. Yeah, I remember Jeff. Jeff, too, came by. Is that the day you came by and you were off work that day? He said, I think I'm going to order like a mint julep. Jeff was living. That's before Jeff got rich on Dogecoin, too. Yeah, he wasn't even rich yet on Dogecoin. Yeah, I remember that day. That was a good day. Aaron says, Bill, the Vols were 5-6. In that 1980 season. That's what I thought. I didn't think there was a bowl game for them that year. But that Georgia night, I thought this team could be 9-2. Apparently not the case, right? Apparently that was a miscalculation. Coming right back. Omni, Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. They're having a time trying to clean up this crash here from earlier on 40 westbound here at Spence Lane. That's why traffic's been extra slow here trying to get through Donaldson on 40 westbound here at Spence Lane because of this earlier accident. Busy out of Mount Julian right now, pretty much on schedule. Hey, Ripley's Aquarium, Sleep of the Sharks coming up June 11th. Check it out, Ripley's Aquarium of the Smokies.com. I'm Commander Chug, you're on time traffic.
Yeah. yes, I'm excited that baseball's back because it means great weather, a cool beverage, and a little action on FanDuel Sportsbook. If you've never bet on baseball before, now is the perfect time to give it a shot. FanDuel is letting new users swing for the fences risk-free. You'll get up to $1,000 back in site credit if your first bet doesn't win. And once you have an account, you can get up to $25 back each day in site credit if your same game parlay bet falls one leg short. There is a reason FanDuel Sportsbook is America's number one sportsbook. The app, it's simple to use. They've got great odds on all the different betting markets. And when you win, FanDuel will pay you your winnings in as little as 24 hours. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up with promo code WNSR.
Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
I'm Blair Durham from Bart Durham Injury Law. We are open 24/7. Our team is working remotely so that we can stay connected during these times. We can get to work for you without a face-to-face meeting. We will get through this together. Our firm has been here 50 years and plan on 50 more. During scary times like these, we have to stay connected. Check out our social media to see how we can help our community and friends. I'm Blair Durham. We will get through this together.
Do you find yourself looking for new and exciting things to do locally with your family during the hot summer months? Thanks to Strike and Spare, you don't have to look any further. Sign up today for Kids Bowl Free. Kids Bowl Free is a summer pass where your kids 15 and under receive two free games of bowling every day. You can also purchase a family pass that allows you to join in on the fun. Visit any of the five local Strike and Spare locations at Hendersonville, Donaldson, Hermitage, Tusculum, and Murfreesboro, or visit kidsbowlfree.com/Strike and Spare and sign up today. Strike and Spare, where fun is bowling.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for this morning. Mostly sunny, high 71. For tonight, mostly cloudy, lows 45. Sunshine for Friday, highs near 70. Saturday, chance of rain, cloudy, highs around 66. And Mother's Day, chance of showers, high 75. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio WNSR, my name is Rocky.
Sports Radio WNSR.
The old BCS computer runs on diesel fuel and dreams. We know this because it lives in Bill King's garage.
True freshman, LSU. Well, they say started five games this last year. Big, looks like an NFL tight end walking around out there. He's hit the he-gone gateway. That'll be interesting. I am not sure what my evaluation there is. I wasn't all that impressed. He had a few good games where he managed well. I don't want to take that away from him. When I say I wasn't all that impressed, I'm talking about application to the future. I just don't. Do I think he's a potential pro starter or something? I didn't see that at all. True freshman aside, maybe that's way too early to make an assessment. It might be. Yeah, it might be. But I knew when Max Johnson got in there and played, particularly the Florida game on the road. I mean, that's where it all began for him, for me. When I saw that, I said, there's your starter. I'm not a Miles Brennan guy either. Now, he got hurt. He's been there a long time. I'm probably not being altogether fair with him. But to me, the quarterback is Max Johnson, because the ultimate judge is what happened when you were out on the football field. When he was on the field, they looked more in sync and better than I think they looked otherwise this year, this last year. Now, again, I'm not at practice every day. We don't get to see all the reps like the coaches do, but I just That's the way I would look at it. And got to remember Jamie Howard's kids coming in. I mean, the state is as Blake Ruffino's talked about, the state's loaded with quarterbacks in the future, including that name, Mr. Arch Manning. So if he wants to indeed be the guy starting, leading a team, then he needs to move on. And I'm sure he'll have a pretty good list of people who want to take him in. I don't think he's going to be one of those players that gets in the portal and then realizes, hey, what's up? How come there's no love coming my way? I don't think that's going to be the case with him. But, yeah, you're going to – the quarterback part of the portal will always be interesting. Yeah, back to Aaron. Aaron says, yeah, the 80 Vols were 5-6. And, see, again, that was the year that I thought that class of 78 would really be muscling up. Now they're two-plus years in, and all those rankings and all the accolades. I can remember – some of the names. They had James Berry, whose son later played at Tennessee and was one of the best safeties you'll ever see in football, period. Eric Berry. Yeah, they don't put safeties together much better than Eric Berry. Played at Tennessee. The only reason Tennessee got him is because of the legacy part. He was a Georgia kid. Phenomenal player. Johnny five-star plus type player. Eric Berry. And, but yeah, his dad, James Berry, was part, he was out of Natchez, Mississippi, his dad. That's where he played his high school ball. Same team that produced Hugh Green, who was not a huge recruit, who turned out to be one of the best college defensive ends, E-word ever, at Pittsburgh, of all places. He had one other offer, was Mississippi State. Hugh Green. Ray Rooster Jones was also a running back that went to Pitt out of Natchez, that same school. Natchez, Mississippi, which is down there in close to the right on the Louisiana border. We used to have, who was that? We used to have somebody either tweet the show or call the show from Natchez. It's been many years. Used to stay in touch all the time, but right down there. But yeah, James Berry, Tennessee signed a running back out of Miami that everybody wanted, named Terry Daniels. He didn't do much at all. Glenn Ford, an All-American running back. They signed three or four All-American running backs in that same class. Glenn Ford was out of North Carolina. He was bigger than the others. He's the one that fumbled in the Georgia game at the end of the game. Georgia recovered. Lee North was an offensive. Actually, they started him as a freshman on the defensive line. He started on and off. Moved to center for them. And played the rest of his career on the offensive line at center. He had a solid career, but nothing phenomenal. I mentioned Leotis Burton in that group as well. I think, was there a quarterback in that? I don't know that there was an All-American quarterback in that class. I don't think there was. Somebody can... If you can go that far back in your mental Rolodex, can correct me. But like I said, and I can reel off some others, that class did not develop at all. And it was ranked number one along with the Hook'em group. Kevin in Muletown, Bill, the 80 Vols played 5 out of conference games, Southern Cal, Washington State, Georgia Tech, Pitt, and Virginia. The Southern Cal game, now this is, think about the confidence level of a team. Tennessee loses the Southern Cal game on a field goal at the end. So they lose the Georgia game, Herschel's debut. Up 15-0. End of game, down 16-15. Ball inside the one of Georgia to win it. Fumble. Lose the next game at home to the mighty Trojans on a field goal at the buzzer. the team was shot at that point. Mental, and Georgia now is just roaring after that. Isn't that interesting? All right, we'll take a break. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Seems like it's taking forever to clean up this wreck over here on 40 westbound at Spence Lane. Traffic's really limping along over here at Donaldson Pike in the Donaldson area, trying to get past this crash scene here on 40 westbound at Spence Lane. It's busy, but it's moving on I-40 up through Kingston Springs coming in from Dixon County. Ripley's Aquarium, Sleep of the Sharks, coming up June 11th. All the details, Ripley's Aquarium of the Smokies.com. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
Hey Nashville, this is Crazy Charlie Sonia, and it's time to put 2020 in the rearview mirror as I tell you all about Bongo Java. Nashville's oldest and most celebrated coffee company now is also located in the Omni Nashville Hotel. Bongo Java's expert baristas take pride in their trade, serving up fresh, locally roasted coffee and fresh baked goods all day long. For me, it's all about the plain old grilled cheese, and I make it a soup and sandwich by adding the tomato basil soup each and every time. You just simply can't go wrong with it. Looking for something else? The pesto bomb will always steer you in the right direction. House-made pesto, spinach, onions, cucumbers, and tomatoes on your choice of bagel. Open at 7 days a week and brewing up till 2. Bongo Java adds to the great Omni Nashville Hotel experience. That's Bongo Java, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, 5th Avenue, downtown.
No one outfits golfers better than Edwin Watts Golf Shops. We've been fitting golfers since 1968. Utilizing cutting-edge fitting technology, we'll analyze your swing and our four-sight launch monitors and fit you with the perfect club, pair of shoes, the latest golf apparel, golf balls, bags, and more. So come by today for your complete custom fitting. Edwin Watts Golf Shops, home of the 90-day 100% satisfaction guarantee.
Having your own home is awesome, but it's also a lot of work. The good news? Finding help for your projects is easier than ever. Introducing Angie, the app that puts all your home care needs at your fingertips. Need a pro to fix that emergency leak? Maybe find someone to build a deck, or even set your seasonal tasks on autopilot. Angie can handle all that and more. Expert pros, hundreds of home projects, clear pricing, and the easiest way to book and pay in seconds. This is Angie, your home for everything home. Download the app today.
He's back and we've got him. The George Plaster Show.
Hold on, who is that person?
That was me. Oh, with the bag of Cheetos.
Terry, how long have you been on radio in this market? At what moment do you think when you're doing a live bid, it's okay to open Cheetos on the air?
What in the hell?
Live, local, George Plaster. Weekdays starting at 2 on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Biscuits, kitchen notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel does, and Bill King loves them all.
Do this maybe once a year, maybe not even once a year, but somewhere around there. And I go back and just look at random years. This is the class of 79. Okay. Now this is the era where I'm just starting to really get into this. I'm about 3-4 years in at this point, but there's no info out there. I'm just dying, thirsting for anything. Okay. My kid just trying to absorb. Now, here is the top 100. Obviously, I'm not going to go through all these players, but I'll give you just a couple. This is the top 100 from the class of 79. Number one, Eric Dickerson out of Sealy, Texas. One of the best running backs ever in the history of football. Right there, number one. He was 6'3", 205. Running backs today are not as good as he is. Okay? Don't tell me running backs today are better. They're not. Everybody always says, today, those guys couldn't compete. Eric Dickerson would run up and down the field from here to San Diego before somebody tackled him in today's game. Don Mosabar was number two. I remember him. He played in the NFL and played offensive tackle for Southern Cal. Number three, you know who number three? In the class of 79, top 100, John Elway. One of the greatest quarterbacks that has ever played the game. He's on the A-plus list. Maybe as gifted a quarterback athletically and throwing the ball as anybody else, if not more so than anybody who ever played the game. He's that good. Number five is Joey Browner from the famous Browner Brothers. He was in Atlanta. He went to Southern Cal. Roger Craig, running back Nebraska, out of Davenport, Iowa, was number seven. If you go back far enough, you'll remember him at Nebraska. Incredible. Also for the 49ers. Very, very good. Let me see who else. Craig James. Many of you probably will remember him more for his ESPN years. But he was a running back. He and Eric Dickerson signed in the same class at SMU. That's when the whole pay thing was going down there. And he actually started for New England in the Super Bowl against the Bears in the 1985 season. Craig James, out of Houston. Let me just jump around. Let me see if I see anybody else that would. Tony Hunter, if you Notre Dame fans will go back there. He came out of Cincinnati. See, even back then, Ohio State did not own Cincinnati. Anybody else that you may, Michael Carter. Buck was talking about him the other day. He ended up a nose guard at SMU and also in the NFL. Anthony Carter, there's AC, Michigan. Came out of Riviera Beach, Florida. Had an incredible career. Johnny Hector for the Aggies, running back. Yeah, anybody else that stands out? I mean, Steve Mott from New Orleans, Alabama. Didn't he play center there at Alabama? Very good player for them. Very good player. Just a couple of them. But, yeah, if you go back, it's kind of Irv Eatman at UCLA. Kenny Hooper out of Tennessee, out of the Chattanooga area, signed with Ole Miss. And was a good-looking running back, Kenny Hooper. There's a – who was the running back? Ole Miss signed a running back from Mississippi. Oh, Buford McGee. How many of you will remember him? Out of Durant, Mississippi. He's also in the top 20 on that list. Anyways, yeah, I love going back and just. So the class of 79 had John Elway. The class of 80 had Dan Marino. Two of the best that will ever have played the game. I don't know that I've seen a quarterback with a better release point on their arm action, buggy whip type release point, than Dan Marino. Grew up right down the street in Pittsburgh. Back then, in that 1980, 79, 76, 82, Pitt football was akin to the top three teams in America right now. Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State. That's what they were. Now, putting that in perspective, you folks sitting here right now listening, you're going to say, well, I can't relate to that because I'm seeing Pitt all these years and they're not very good most of the time. That's true. Back then, they were an absolute, and it lasted, less than 10 years. It was about a 6, 7, 8 year run. By the way, Kevin, when he posted Tennessee played Pitt in 1980, I saw that Pitt team. Yep. I saw Dan Marino, Hugh Greene, Ricky Jackson, just loaded. An offensive line that was monstrous. And actually, if I remember that game correctly, Tennessee started the game on top. Willie Gough from Griffin, Georgia. Played for the Bears later. Speed guy, right? Track guy. Olympic speed guy. Returned the opening kickoff for a touchdown, then Pitt won like 30-7. Loaded team. Jackie Sherrill. Loaded team. That team, again, would be like Ohio State, Clemson, Alabama today. That kind of team. That kind. Maybe in some cases better personnel. Anyways, we'll take the break. Hour 3 coming up. Thursday edition, Omni Nashville Hotel.